Of Too Cool for Podcast. I am your sleepiest host, Daniel Lee. And to my right, oh, hey, Laren. How are you doing?
Surprise!
Surprise! Just a bit of a news before we start this off. A tragedy has befallen one of our co-hosts today. You may know him as Anthony Barola, or a.k.a. Anthony Busybody Barola.
That's what I call him.
That's what his mother calls him. So, he is sick and out today, so...
He's sick?
Yes, he is sick. I don't know, he's got bird flu. So, before we start this off, we're going to have a moment of silence for our co-host. We're going to be remembering him... You know, the fond memories that we have of him for a couple of seconds. Ready?
I don't have any fond memories.
You don't have any memories at all. 1, 2, 3. And that's it. That's it.
We miss you.
Yes, we already miss you. And that's why we have Laren Baroldi at the mic today. You know?
Producer.
Yes. strangely enough, this is going to be the first time he actually talks throughout this podcast.
I'm going to be talking.
Yes. It's kind of weird because, you know, I always wanted you to talk, but, you know, it just didn't work out. I always considered you the brain of this podcast.
And suits me.
Yes. And I am the heart of this podcast. And Anthony would be the third nipple of this podcast. Okay. So that's enough... remembering about Anthony.
I don't think that's enough. We should keep going.
Oh, I could keep going. This entire podcast could be, you know, dedicated to our fallen soldier here. But we got to keep this moving.
Yeah, we probably should.
Yes. Today we're going to be talking about the three shows that we usually cover.
Woo!
Woo! Dexter.
Yep.
Boardwalk Empire. And The Walking Dead.
Okay, okay.
Mm-hmm. And we're actually going to be talking about them in that particular order, not because any of them were more outstanding than the other, in my opinion. They were all spectacular.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yes. It's just the fact that two of those shows are actually have finished for this season or is taking a mid-season break.
Correct.
So yeah, that's why we're going to be starting off with Dexter.
Okay.
Okay.
Let's all do right. It.
So this episode of Dexter.
Hoo-wee. Pretty amazing.
Pretty amazing. The whole show has been kind of going off the rail for a bit now.
Yeah.
Or at least for this season.
We discussed that in last week's episode.
Yes. This time, though, something big happens. Dexter actually discards his code that he's been holding up to for so long.
Right. The dark...
The dark passenger that he refers to. His urge to kill. Yes.
Not the Dark Rider.
No. That's what Hannah McKay called it. And then he just repeated it. And then, you know...
I think he took that. I think it has a better ring to it.
Dark Rider. I don't know. But the whole notion of having a dark passenger is that sometimes he's in control, but he's got this person on the side of him who is telling him what to do. You know what I mean?
Right.
So, like, I think Dark Passenger is a correct way of, I don't know, calling whatever that urge is.
Because it's kind of there, but it's not speaking to him.
Yeah. So, he... After that one... after he meets up with the Phantom, eventually... he realizes that he has to kind of take some responsibility for his own actions. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's why he completely discards the whole notion of that there being a dark passenger for him. Because he saw how childish and naive it was.
Mm-hmm.
From his...
And it kind of opens him up to the idea that he actually has a choice.
Yeah, yeah. And that he's been making this choice all this time by himself. You know what I mean?
And it's taken him 30-plus years to realize that.
30-plus years. Yes, after all these tragic encounters that he's had. And now, we also saw Harry disappearing from his mind.
We did.
Yeah. Do you think he's actually going to make a comeback?
Probably at some point.
Or is that actor written off the show now?
We don't know.
We don't know. But yes, they're just completely abandoning this the formula that they've been using since the beginning. And mm-hmm. we're seeing a Dexter who is just willing to... he is enjoying murdering other people. And not that... we obviously don't see him just going off the deep end and just, like, murdering, like, anybody he sees, obviously. But now he has some leeway with who he gets to kill.
True.
And then we've seen that this episode. For some reason, he spares the Phantom.
Right.
But he goes and murders Hannah McKay's father, who is a dirtbag. In some of our minds, maybe he deserved to die, but...
He's redefining his code.
There is no code.
What
I think. Well, actually, no. That might not be accurate because he... Like I just said 20 seconds ago, he's just not going to kill, like, anybody he needs.
Yeah. You know?
So, yeah, you're right, Larry. Good job. That's your first... Yeah, yeah. That deserved a slow golf clap.
Thanks
right
for
there.
The clap, you know.
Yes.
What about Deb?
Deb?
She got the call. She got the call from
Clint right.
before Dexter decided to kill him.
Yes, now she knows that there is an actual witness out there for one of Hannah McKay's
murder. Is she going to protect Dexter? Protect Hannah.
No, she at the end of the episode said, you know, like she's not gonna stick her neck out for him being with this girl anymore. She says, you know, she's not gonna let her die, but she still wants to put her away.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And you know, they're obviously going to pursue this one person. Maybe now that Dexter has abandoned his code, he could possibly go and murder this girl just to protect her. Maybe. Not putting any eggs in that basket, though, so far.
So what about LaGuardia?
LaGuardia, she is really getting close to him. I mean, like, she's already there, basically. And like in the preview for next episode, we kind of see him realizing that she's gotten close to him too. So potentially he'll be murdering two people who are...
Bold statement. Okay, so Matthews, as we see in the preview for next week, is going to sit down with Dexter and have a heart-to-heart.
A heart-to-heart talk between two men. Yes.
Totally.
Seen a lot of things in their lives. You know, both of them fathers, maybe. Yeah, that's gonna be interesting. Well, honestly, for me, that's like the least interesting bit from the show. The whole LaGuardia findings, my befallen co-host has mentioned in the previous podcasts. This is a storyline that they have to pursue. It's a necessary scene to further progress the story, but that doesn't make me care about it any more than I already don't. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I've been loving this series, but there's been a lot of characters and character progressions and story plots that like I really didn't care for. Kind of the same way with Boardwalk Empire. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But Dexter has been working with way less, you know, cast members. I know like Anthony will disagree with that, but he won't disagree with me when I say that I still don't care about Quinn.
Oh, I don't either.
Yep. And you know, he's just like digging his digging this hole for himself.
He's always digging in the just, hole.
But you know, like he's had seasons where he's like turning himself around and becoming this straight edge cop, or at least as straight edge as he could get. You know what I mean? But in this episode, you know, he's not just this episode, this entire season,
he's just been taking the money.
Yeah, there's just so much lie and deceit. Most of the lies and deceits from this season has been coming from Quinn instead of Dexter.
Right.
You know? Dexter really, you know, maybe there's only like two other people right now who knows who he is. Or you know,
knows about his secrets.
Knows about his his secrets. But you know, Dexter is usually the ones with like so much secrets that like that he holds on to. But Quinn is just out there, just like punching, you know, strip club owners, taking money from mafias. Or at least, you know, in this recent episode, he fabricates a crime scene.
Yeah.
Basically. And I think Angel's going to let him off the hook for some unknown reason. Maybe he thought about the cash that he took from him and he's like, okay, well, he did a favor for me, so I guess I'll have to keep quiet about this.
Yeah.
But, you know, this is eventually going to catch up to him, and then
maybe Dexter pins the whole thing on him.
So is Quinn our new Dokes?
Quinn is the new Dokes.
He's the white Dokes of the show.
Yes.
Wow. I don't know if I like that, because I actually liked Dokes, but yeah, it could be that way. I mean, we're all about making our calls here. You know what I mean? You know, just dropping the mic. Everything we say, after we say it, we drop the mic, then pick it up, and we continue with our discussions.
That's the name of the game.
That is the game. Drop the mic. Anyway, so anything else you want to say about this show?
No, I think we covered it.
Okay. That's enough for Dexter. We still have about two more episodes left. Lots of crazy things happening, apparently, from, like, the previews we've seen.
Mm-hmm. Everything's unraveling.
Yes, everything is unraveling. I just want to bring this to attention again. How many more seasons do you think the show could go for?
I think it could go for probably about two more seasons.
Yeah, that's where I put it. Two or three more seasons. But the way they left this open, I could also see it just ending in one more season.
Yeah,
just I think that was it when, you know, Dexter, you know, actually said, you know, this code is not for me. You know what I mean? I actually do enjoy murdering these people. It's not some weird dark passenger guy telling me what to do. I've been telling myself what to do all this time. So when that scene occurred, I was like, you know, I could actually see this series ending sooner than I thought, which would make, you know, this guy a prophet, which I don't like. But, you know, I'll have to. I see his point.
Okay. Let's move on.
Let's move on. Next show we're going to be talking about is Boardwalk Empire. It's a show that my interim co-host doesn't really watch.
Never.
No. But it was an awesome episode. Usually...
Was it?
Yes, yes. Usually this show is... this show could get a little dry at times because it's it's a show where the gangsters and politicians would usually sit around like dinner tables and discuss business. That's mostly what the show is about.
Okay.
Okay. Like little power struggles, pulling strings from behind the scenes. But in this episode, we've seen just tons of action. Richard Harrow, the guy who referred to as the faceplate dude.
Okay.
He brings basically like a closet worth of a closet full worth of arsenals with him to take out like this entire mansion full of gangsters just to take out Jimmy's boy away from that place. And that was awesome. What else? And then we see Al Capone and Chalky White working together in the woods to take out who's that one guy? There's this big time Italian
You're asking
mobster
the wrong person.
There's this big time Italian mobster guy who ordered his men to come back.
Okay.
And then while they were coming back in their cars, Al Capone and Chalky White ambushes them and murders all of them.
Jeez.
Yeah. I think it was mentioned at one point that there were about 31 men left from that camp. So yeah, lots of murdering. Lots of murdering.
Lots of bloodshed this week.
Lots of bloodshed. And then at the end, we see Gyp Rossetti, who is the villain of this season, get pay for all he's done. Basically.
Good.
You know. Well, you know, there are really bad characters in this show, but him in particular has been a loose cannon, and you know, loose cannons never last.
Yep.
So yeah, so he paid for it dearly with his life, and now we also see Nucky using a distillery that he got from working together with one of this politician.
Mm-hmm.
And he uses that distillery as a trap to get another big time mobster from up in New York, Arnold Rothstein. Because Arnold Rothstein also wants that distillery. And he said if he wants his help, Nucky will have to give him 99% of the profit from the distillery itself.
Ouch.
Yeah.
It's a lot.
So Nucky's like, all right, I'll give it the 99% just so you could have this one guy back off from me. But he uses that distillery to trap him because he also contacts his recent business partner.
Okay.
Who was also going to be profiting from the distillery.
Yeah.
He's a big time politician as well.
Mm-hmm.
He gets him. He tells him to basically get Arnold Rothstein in trouble with the FBI.
So he's ratting him out.
Yeah. So, you know, that goes...
Setting him up.
Yes. That goes... I think that goes back to how, you know, Nucky is not a forgiving person.
Okay.
Like, Arnold Rothstein could have helped him with this whole war effort. But he pulled out. And he also rallied other mobsters to pull out along with him. So, you know, Nucky's pissed. He's not going to forget about that. So that's how he sets him up to fall. And there were just so many great scenes here.
Go over them.
Go over them. Well, I already told you about all the action scenes that occurred and Nucky trapping Arnold Rothstein. What else? What else? And before Nucky actually trapped Arnold Rothstein, there was a scene where Arnold Rothstein himself was double-crossing his own men, who, in turn, I suppose, was sort of going against his order. So he might have been justified in doing what he did,
mm-hmm.
Arnold Rothstein.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's still kind of a dick move. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So, I suppose in the grand scheme of things, Arnold Rothstein gets his due as well.
So, everybody's getting their due.
Yeah,
in this
everybody's paying for what they've done to someone else in this show. And I was really happy to see that there was a lack of Margaret scenes.
Oh.
Yes. Margaret appeared for maybe like one or two scenes here, and I was very happy about that. Because I do not like her.
In fact, as we all know.
Yes. As we all know, I do not like Margaret. She somehow survives this season again. You know? That's the tragic part of this whole... whole thing is that Margaret is still alive, Owen Slater's dead, Jip Rossetti's dead, all these great characters are dead, but Margaret,
you get to see her next
still
season.
Breathes. Yes. And I think she got rid of a baby at one point. I don't know. Really don't care. that's outside of my periphery. Okay. So, do you have any questions about this show?
I'm not even going to ask.
Oh, come on. Ask questions. This show is all about asking questions from our panel of non-experts that we got here, that I've assembled.
Did this season surprise you, or did you see it coming?
Did
the way it turned out?
It turned out pretty much like how I imagined it, but they threw in a lot of nice twists.
That's like, always good.
Yeah. Like how Nucky, you know. I mean, obviously, we all know historically that Nucky survives this endeavor because he lives to be a very rich, very happy, secluded man. Oh, that's another point that I want to bring up is that...
there we go.
Nucky now realizes that he's got too much of a high profile. People know who he is.
Yeah.
And he's been enjoying that thus far.
Mm-hmm.
But now he's seeing it in a different light now. He realizes that his fame also attracts unwanted attention towards him. So that's why in the car, there was a scene with him and his brother Eli in the car. And he was talking about how he wanted nobody to approach him anymore.
Okay.
He didn't want anybody knowing him. So now I guess we'll see a transition from him going from this well-known dude who runs the city to somebody who quietly runs the city from the shadows.
Okay.
And that's an interesting bit. We also see him throw the flower from his breast pocket out onto the street.
A very metaphorical scene?
A very metaphorical scene, I would say.
How would you describe it?
Very metaphorical.
But
you know,
why?
He's abandoning the flash.
Okay.
The flare.
Okay.
That he's carried on for so long. Okay?
Gotcha.
That's how I saw it. I don't know how anybody else saw it. But yeah, that's what I took away from it. Any other questions you have?
Who is Nucky?
Who is Nucky Thompson? I thought you at least saw the first episode of this show.
Okay, yeah,
well,
I did.
He's basically, I think he's, in title, he's like the treasurer of Atlantic City.
Okay.
But really, he's the dude who runs the city, basically. He's the guy who gets people... and then have them elected as the mayor of the city, the head sheriff of the city, and then he runs them. They all answer to him.
He's the big boss.
He's the big boss, but he's not at the top.
Yet.
No. In the eyes of the public, he's not at the top. Oh, well, actually, people already kind of know he runs the city, but in title, he's not at the top. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Any other questions you have about this? This magnificent show that finally, like, you know, brought out all the stops in this latest episode.
Nope.
All right. I guess we'll move on. The next show we're going to be covering is The Walking Dead. I know you watched this.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. You're a zombie enthusiast.
Mm-hmm.
Like the rest of the world.
Who isn't?
And rightfully so. This show, you know. This show also brought out all the stops for this mid-season finale.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So let's cover it.
So the gang breaks into Woodbury.
Yes.
To save Maggie and Glenn.
Mm-hmm.
And they were in for a surprise.
What kind of surprise?
I didn't think that they would expect such violence coming into this.
Well, I don't know about that. They kind of like surveyed the area for a bit before going in, so I think they knew.
Right.
They sort of knew what they were up against. I thought you meant some other surprises, like maybe like Michonne, like you know, finding this room full of fish
heads.
Tanks full of, you know,
piranhas.
Dead heads, piranhas, and a dead girl. I thought that was like, I thought maybe that was the surprise that you were talking about. But I think they kind of knew what they were getting into when they first decided to rescue Maggie and Glenn.
Okay.
What I do want to talk about with this episode is Glenn and Maggie, when they reunited in that one holding cell, I guess. Glenn, it's a brutal scene, but he goes up to the walker, and it shows how it shows how much they've grown, they've accustomed to violence, and they just know how to survive.
Right, he's getting more crafty with his.
Yeah, he's a wily one. That guy.
Yes, he is.
he takes the walker, rips out his arm, breaks the bone inside, and basically makes a prison shank out of
the fibula
the guy's,
that he grabbed?
Skeleton. I don't know.
I'm not an expert on bones.
None of us are. I mean, if somebody out there knows exactly what part of the bone, the skeleton,
yes,
that
Glenn message
took from that walker, you know, send us an email. Send us an email. TooCoolForBlog@gmail.com. Okay. That's enough plugging our email address. Like again, they just know how to survive, and they're getting really crafty with it, as you mentioned. You know, Maggie actually murders one of the guy with that?
Did she?
Yeah.
I thought it was Glenn that stuck the
No, no, no.
The
Glenn went after
neck.
Merle. Glenn went after Merle because
she did it then.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then she just, you know, rips his throat out with it or something.
Right.
And throughout this episode, we see like close encounters. For example, the two brothers almost meeting each other in that confrontation, and then Daryl backing off and then going with his group out of that room.
And then Andrea
shooting at someone.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then she says she sort of sees someone. And then that kind of surprises the governor.
Mm-hmm.
Because he doesn't want her to know any part, any details. Like why they're here, for example. And
surprising that she hasn't thought of that.
What?
Being them. Being the terrorists?
Well, it's kind of hard to, you know, just say like, you know. I mean, we as viewers know every step of the way what is going on, what's going to happen,
right.
who's where, and why they're there. But, you know.
But we forget that she hasn't been with the group in about a year plus?
It's probably not a year. I think they said about like 6 to 8 months that she's been on the road with Michonne.
Okay.
So I'll put her at about, you know, a little over 8 months. You know, by that point, like, I think any of us would have just forgotten about them. You know, people, especially in this post-apocalyptic setting, you know,
right.
People die all the time, you know. If you don't see somebody for that long, like, you just naturally assume that they're no longer alive, maybe.
Let's continue.
Let's continue. One of the predictions that Anthony made actually came true this episode.
And which was that?
Oscar dying.
Oscar dying, yep.
Now that we have a more prominent African-American figure in the show,
Oscar Tyrese. Was no longer needed.
Yes, Tyrese. So they have to off the other black guy in the show just to fit him into the whole scheme, I suppose. Right. I don't know. That was
more of a muscle, didn't really serve much of a purpose.
Oscar?
Yeah.
I don't think we had enough screen time with him to see what kind of purpose he could have had. He's had maybe like one or two scenes where he actually talked, and those were most of them were from like the first meetings between them.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So speaking of prisoners, how about the other one? His buddy.
What, Axel?
Yeah.
Axel trying to pick up on women because he hasn't been with a woman for so long.
Age doesn't matter.
That was a hilarious bit. Well, age, like he himself is an old man, so. Oh, you mean the other way around.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. it's really hard to judge a person
who's been in
this
prison.
Setting.
Yeah.
In this setting. Right. Not because he's a prisoner or they're in prison, but in this setting where the world is ending, and plenty of horrible, unspeakable things go where people just shrug it off. Something bad happens, and then people, you know, people do bad things. So, I mean, yeah, it's really easy to come out and say, oh, that's terrible. He's hitting on a 17-year-old girl, you know, but I don't know. Like I said, in this setting, it's hard to judge somebody for being attracted.
Let's just forget about this guy.
This is a hard line to tread, but it's like, I mean, he was only talking to her too. Like, he didn't really try to do anything.
Right, so right? He's just a minute character anyways.
Yeah, well...
It's not worth talking about.
Well, yeah, but... he was pretty big in the comics, but... Yeah.
Oh, was he?
Yeah.
I never read him.
He's sort of a minor character here so far. Yeah, I guess he's not worth delving into that far. So I'll drop it at that. what else did you like about this episode?
Let's talk about Andrea catching Michonne.
Yeah, yeah. Like the little standoff that they had. And then she asks her what did she do?
Mm-hmm.
I still don't like Andrea even after having seen this.
Neither do I.
No, yeah. It still hasn't convinced me. And also she sees the fish tank full of like walker heads and then the mm-hmm.
says that, nothing
that
of
whole
it.
Room and then she's still like she kind of questions it but mm-hmm. at the same time she's still there supporting him, you know. Maybe in the back of her mind she's like, oh man, what did I get myself into? But she's still clinging onto some hope that this is it. This is the place where she could, you know, live out the rest of her life.
Yeah.
So
she genuinely wants that.
I mean, I can't hate
she's willing to look over all these faults that he has.
Yeah. I can't hate on somebody for wanting hope, but she's been on the road for a very long time, and then I feel like she should know better.
Yeah.
She should know better, but yeah, this episode still doesn't convince me that she's not likable. And I think that's where I'll leave it at that for Andrea.
Do you think it was a good idea that Michonne killed his daughter or his zombie daughter?
Is it a good idea? Yes, it is a good idea. As far as the intent there was to kind of provoke him, that wasn't a good idea.
Right.
Because, you know, like, he's a powerful man.
Mm-hmm.
He's got a whole town under his belt. So, you know, she just basically picked the fight with him now. And that in itself is not a smart thing, but, you know, killing a walker or two, that's not a bad thing itself.
Nope.
On its own.
That was the one thing that kept him emotional.
Attached to this world.
Yeah.
That was his only attachment. I don't even see Andrea having that sort of effect on him. Like, you know.
Right. In the thick of things.
Yeah. His only a lot of the theme of the show is that there's no hope, right? And mm-hmm. then that was his one last hope, is that he was kind of clinging onto this hope that maybe there is a cure,
right,
to bring his daughter back. And I guess that's why they've been doing all these tests,
yeah,
with the dead subjects, mm-hmm. to see if they mm-hmm. remember if they could recall anything from their past life. And now that's been taken away from him, there was something else that was taken away from him. His right eye.
Ouch.
Ouch. Yes. She takes that glass shard and just shoves it up there. Yikes. Very violent.
Mm-hmm.
But very cool. Now he's got an aesthetic going on for him. Now
he can wear a patch.
Now he could wear a patch just like in the comics, which is awesome. Which is awesome. I love that look for him. Anything else you want to talk about?
Daryl.
Daryl finally meeting
finally
up
met
with
up.
Meryl?
Yeah. But it wasn't as dramatic as we expected.
You thought it was going to be dramatic?
Thought it was going to be more of a, oh my God, hugging moment.
The way they set up this meeting was kind of weird, is that it wasn't like them finding each other and then like just kind of like, oh my God, you're alive.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, they kind of revealed that Meryl was alive through Maggie and Glenn. They tell Daryl that he's still alive. And I don't know if I like that. There was that kind of took away, I guess, a lot of the surprise that... They took away potentially a cool scene where they finally meet each other.
Right.
I feel.
Which is what I wanted too.
Yeah. But I suppose if they were rescuing them, it would have been hard to make a scene like that. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just don't like the way they set that up. So
the episode leaves off where they're in a jam.
Yeah.
For next season.
Yeah. You know, like the governor is, you know,
doesn't care at all about Meryl.
Doesn't care at all about
this.
He
wants scapegoat.
He wants somebody to pay for all of the assault on his town in that episode.
Mm-hmm. And well, I think he knew that a lot of times Meryl was lying to him, not showing his loyalty.
Well, yeah. Yes. Yes.
So he felt.
Yes, but more importantly, I think he wanted to make an example out of somebody.
Right.
And then conveniently, Meryl is there.
Who is the link between Rick's group?
Through
Daryl.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, the brothers are in a jam. Well, what do you think is going to happen?
Huh. I don't know. Rick's going to come back for Daryl and...
Okay. In that case, I want to make a call now.
Okay, go ahead.
I'm going to call something. I mean, this is not like a bold statement or anything, but I feel like Meryl is going to sacrifice himself, do the one good thing in his life to keep Daryl alive.
Huh, okay.
So, like, you know, a hero's death. Very much like T-Dog when he saves Carol. I feel like a hero's death is in the works for Meryl in the future, because he can't stay with Rick's group or the governor's group If he doesn't die, then the only way I see him surviving is maybe if he took off with Daryl and then they just survive on their own. But that would be taking away a great character from us, the viewers. Because we love Daryl.
A lot of Daryl fans.
Yes. So, from a logical standpoint, looking at the series as a whole, I feel like Merle is going to die.
Okay.
Saving his brother.
Merle's going to die.
Saving his brother.
Saving the brother.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. What else could we talk about?
Tyrese.
Tyrese.
Breaks into the prison.
Breaks into the prison. Oh,
or it doesn't break into it. It's kind of already opened.
Yes.
Which is how the zombies keep getting in, apparently.
Mm-hmm. What is it? The news that you read a couple of episodes back said he's going to be tied heavily with the Woodbury camp.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I thought too.
Yeah. We kind of thought that maybe he was already living there in the town. That's not how it happened. He's got his own group that he's leading.
I like how they made it very vague too in the previews. We didn't know whether he was walking to the town or the prison.
Yeah. Oh, and also when he was walking into the prison for some reason, I thought that whole scene where we see the big opening on the prison wall.
Yeah.
Was like an aftermath of the war between Rick and the governor.
Okay. Yeah, could be seen that way.
Like, I thought maybe this scene is supposed to take place after, like, the governor's retaliation against Rick's group. Because in the comics, he actually runs through that prison with a tank.
Ooh. Yes. Didn't see that.
Yes. So that's what I thought. And we know it's that wasn't what it was.
Not at all.
Yeah. It was just another big opening in the prison. Which also kind of makes me question, is this prison really secure?
Yeah, I thought Rick basically walked the perimeter and made sure it was. But
they just like easily like walked through that opening in the fence and then...
Perfectly cut out for a human body.
Yeah, they were in the prison. No, nobody actually cut that fence, right? Within the group?
I don't think so.
Yeah.
Not Rick's group.
Yeah, I felt like they just found that opening and then they just straight up walked in.
Yep.
Which I was like, wow, really? Rick's group didn't see that big gash in the fences.
So what about Tyrese's group? Four-man group? From what I recall?
Yeah, and then he's got his daughter with them.
Is that his daughter?
Yeah,
that's his daughter. I thought that was his girlfriend.
She looked way too young to be his girlfriend.
I didn't think so.
And he did have a daughter in the comics also. So that's...
Did he refer to her as baby?
Hmm? Well, some fathers refer to their...
I could have sworn that she called him baby.
Really?
Yeah.
That's...
I gotta watch it again.
Yeah, I just assumed that was his daughter. But, I have to go back and watch it too. But I really have nothing to say about that group in particular at this point in time. All I could say for now is we finally have Tyrese, and I'm just glad that we have that. And
Carl bumps into them.
Carl
saves their lives.
Yes.
So he's becoming a man.
Well, we've already seen like signs of that. Like I think him taking out his mother. You know, that whole scene.
Right. He's becoming a stone cold killer.
we see him slowly, you know, outgrowing his childhood prematurely. And then, you know, it was very smart of Carl not to just immediately trust them.
Exactly.
But he is still willing to help them out. He just, you know, he just has to make sure.
He puts the group before
everybody. He's seen a lot of stuff in his very short life. And then, you know, he knows not to trust strangers
Certainly has.
Well, not that you should trust strangers, even at this day and age. But in the post-apocalyptic world, even more so.
Right.
And yeah, so he locks them up in that little prison cell. I don't know what that was, but yeah, they're in there now. But Tyrese also had an understanding.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, you know what? Like, this is the best we've had in weeks. So we'll take what we can get. And then I'm pretty sure because he is tied to the Woodbury camp, he understands where Carl is coming from.
Yep.
You have to be careful. You just can't trust anybody until you made sure that they're trustworthy. All right. So that's our Walking Dead discussion for the week. And now we're going to move on to our Netflix pick of the week. So what you got for us, Laren?
Okay. Well, I've been watching a lot of Audrey Hepburn, thanks to Anthony.
Anthony. Yes, he suggested Sabrina last week.
Which was a great movie.
Yes.
Very charming
so
girl.
So what other Audrey Hepburn movie did you watch this week?
I watched Charade.
Charade. Can you tell us anything about that movie?
Charade, yeah. It's basically about four guys. Actually, I don't remember what the hell it was.
You just want to recommend it?
I recommend it.
It was good?
Yeah.
You liked it?
Loved it.
Is there singing in it?
No singing in this one.
What? I don't know. I don't know about that now that you mentioned that there's no singing. But personally, my Netflix pick of the week is Archer. It's a show on FX. It's an animated show. It's about this agency where they employ secret agents.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they carry out, you know, assassinations and whatnot. But it's really funny. It's about this womanizing guy who with like a really deep mother issue.
Mm-hmm.
And his mom is the head of the agency that he's in.
Oh, wow.
And yeah, it's a really, really funny show. I recommend it. It's about... they have about two seasons up on Netflix. Just check out the pilot and then see if you like it. See if it's your type of humor and then just go on from there. It's your life. I don't tell you what to do.
Okay.
News. Oh, there was a big news last week. Magneto and Professor Xavier. For the X-Men Days of Future Past.
Yep.
They're bringing back in Sir Ian McKellen and Patrick Stewart to reprise their roles.
Yay.
So now from just that casting decision, we could immediately assume that there's going to be some kind of time traveling involved. And also, they mentioned that... Hugh Jackman will be they're in talks with him to play Wolverine again for this show movie. Not sure if they've confirmed anything, but he's still in the talks.
Okay,
so maybe we'll get more than a 2 second cameo out of him this time.
That would be nice.
Yeah, that would be nice. Which would tie in nicely with the other X-Men movie that's I think being released next year as well.
Yeah.
The Wolverine. Mm-hmm.
What's that about? That's
taking place in Japan. And I think it's supposed to take place after the third X-Men movie. And I think they said it will have nothing to do with the X-Men Origins movie, which was terrible.
Oof.
Yeah. So that's a bit of a good news. I guess we'll end on that note.
Okay.
This has been fun talking to Laren Baroldi.
Likewise.
And we hope that Anthony recovers in time for the next one.
Please.
So I'm not talking to a brick wall
yep.
again for another episode.
That's what you're going to get with me.
you're just sitting there just like listening and like no retort whatsoever, no counterpoints, no counter arguments, no anything.
I'm the tech guy, what do you expect?
Yes, that is what you are. But still, it's nice to talk to you. It's been nice talking to you.
Has it been? I apologize to all of our listeners out there.
Yeah.
If it wasn't up to par.
Apologize for your crimes.
I did.
This was Too Cool for Podcast. Daniel Lee.
Larry Broly.
And goodbye, everyone.
Peace.
Peace.